welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. There's comedy in this hour, later on from Fred Allen from 1933. But first, the Screen Director's Playhouse, with an adaptation of the 1947 motion picture, The Perfect Marriage, from March 20th, 1949 on NBC.
Screen Director's Assignment, production The Perfect Marriage, director Lewis Allen, star Loretta Young.
The Hollywood Screen Directors present a comedy of wedlock in a deadlock. The Perfect Marriage, starring 1948 Academy Award winner Loretta Young, and introducing the director of the film, Lewis Allen. Tonight's guest screen director and tonight's story both first saw the light of the entertainment world upon the stage of the theater, and brilliant successes in this field brought them to the motion picture medium. Thus, the selection of our guest to make a picture from Samson Raphaelson's popular play, The Perfect Marriage, was a logical one. He has created comedy all the way from London to Hollywood, and has directed such fine films as The Uninvited, Our Hearts Were Young and Gay, So Evil My Love, and the soon-to-be-released Paramount picture, Chicago Deadline, starring Alan Ladd. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Lewis Allen.
Thank you. Thank you. There are two schools of thought about marriage. Those who think that it can't be perfect, and those who know darn well it can't. Tonight, we're concerned with a marital comedy, a story that's one of my favorites, simply because it's a barrel of fun. So here's The Perfect Marriage, starring Loretta Young in her original role of Jenny, with Robert Bailey as Dale.
They say that a perfect marriage is like a perfect crime. You never quite get away with it. Well, Dale and Jenny Williams seem to be getting away with it, up to now. They've been just as successful at marriage as they've been at their respective careers. His as an aeronautical engineer, hers as an editor of a woman's magazine. And today is their fifth wedding anniversary. A fact which bubbles through Jenny's mind as they indulge in that Native American custom known as brunch.
Darling, isn't it wonderful?
Absolutely. Best coffee Rose ever made.
Oh, no. I mean us, Dale. Here we are sitting across the breakfast table after 5 years. 5 wonderful years.
5 years of breakfast. 1,825 breakfasts together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to count them, darling.
No, 1,826 and one half, counting leap years.
Oh, where does the half come in?
Our first breakfast.
Oh?
The eggs were half done, the toast was half burned, and the prunes were half stewed.
And so were you, dear.
I was not. That was sheer happiness.
Oh. Dale, are you happy now?
Happy?
Yeah.
Sure, I guess so.
Darling, I have a wonderful idea. Let's go away together. Anywhere. Let's just dance and laugh and be gay, just like we used to do.
Yeah, well, I'd like to, Jenny, but, the office.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll make it another time. I'll pass the toast, will you, please?
Certainly. Dale, since you're so busy, you won't have any objections to my going to Atlantic City for a week, will you?
No, of course not.
Well, don't you even want to know why?
All right, why? Pass the butter, will you, please?
Because my magazine wants me to cover a convention there.
Well, that's fine, it's good.
You sure you don't mind?
Why should I mind?
Well, I'm your wife, Dale.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Then you don't mind. You don't even care one little bit.
Well, I'll miss you, if that's what you want me to say.
Yes, you'll miss me, like you did when I went to Paris last month.
Well, certainly I missed you. Now, shut up and hurry your grapefruit.
Oh, will you stop gnawing on that toast?
Why?
Because you look like a moose in molting season, that's why.
Jenny, what on earth is the matter with you?
Oh, Dale, let's face it, our marriage has gone flat. We've let ourselves become just, well, intimate acquaintances who share nothing but a roof.
What do you mean?
You know very well, you knew that I was going to be in Paris for weeks, and... and yet you made no effort to stop me. Now it's the same thing all over again.
Look, you're a businesswoman, Jenny, with a businesswoman's responsibilities. I simply acknowledge that fact.
Well, I can remember when you wouldn't have let me go on so cheerfully.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
Oh, I could scream every time I think of that leer on your face when the boat pulled out.
That wasn't a leer. It was a smile.
Yes. Well, you were glad to see me go.
Oh, for heaven's sake,
Jenny.
And
that goodbye kiss you gave me, a bird peck.
A lovebird?
More like a duck-billed platypus.
Oh, duck-billed platypus. You don't even know what it looks like.
Oh, yes, I do. It has a long beak.
That was no platypus. That was that goop you used to date.
Do you mean Gil Cummins? He's not a goop. He's a very dear friend.
Well, he's a goop if I ever saw one, and I've seen one, and it's him.
Will there be anything else, Mrs. Williams?
A goop, I say, a goop.
Oh. I'm sorry, Mr. Williams, but I think you ate the last one yesterday morning. May I go now? My gentleman friend is waiting.
Rosa, I didn't even know you had one.
Oh, Mrs. Williams, about the refrigerator.
What's the matter with it?
It keeps making a noise like H.B. Kaltenborn with the hiccup.
Well, Mr. Williams is an engineer, Rosa. He'll grind the valves or something.
Well, if you don't mind, Mrs. Williams, the last time he tried to fix the refrigerator, the radio exploded.
Well, Rosie's really very good with airplanes.
Yes, ma'am, I'm sure he is, ma'am, but I don't want my refrigerator flying around the kitchen.
Oh.
I'll fix it myself when I get time. Oh, I almost forgot Miss Moore's in the living room. Shall I get rid of her?
That's what I like about you, Rosa. No inhibitions.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. I never did hold with drinking.
Hi, Gloria. Have you had breakfast?
Hours ago.
Oh.
Congratulations, perfect marriage. I hope I'm not intruding.
You are.
Dale, I love you. You're so funny. Here's a great big kiss.
Hey, wait a minute. He's not that funny.
Just to keep peace in the family, it's Jenny I came to see.
Oh.
How about lending me that little black hat that looks so silly on you?
Yes, I know the one. Come on, I'll get it.
Now, stop looking at me that way, Dale. Your favorite divorcee is tying the can to her latest boyfriend. I want to do it in style.
Haven't you got a hat of your own?
What's the matter with you anyway?
Oh, hangover.
It's what you get for mixing gin with gin.
It's not that. I dive too deep for the olive. Now, will you please go away?
All right, if that's the way you feel about it. But remember...
What?
I don't know. I can't think of a good line. I'm going upstairs.
Gloria.
What's with you and Dale, darling? Do I detect a fleck of tarnish on the perfect marriage?
What makes you say that?
You both seem so upset.
We do? Well, it's because of Rosa.
No, poisoning your food again, huh?
Oh, Gloria, she's unhappy. Husband trouble.
Her own or somebody else's?
Oh, please, Gloria. Now, look, you're an expert on husbands. Maybe you could give me some advice for Rosa.
Well, what are the symptoms?
Well, it's just that a husband and wife discover that they really don't care for each other anymore. What happens then?
They're P-H-T-T-T. I don't know how to pronounce it, but that's the way you spell it.
Oh.
Hey, Jenny, I just wanted to tell you I'll have to run down to the office.
Oh, but Dale, it's Sunday.
I'm sorry, it can't be helped.
My, but Rosa has certainly upset this domestic paradise.
Rosa? What's she got to do
with... Oh, yes, I was just telling Gloria about the crisis in Rosa's marriage.
But she isn't...
Married to the right man? No, of course she isn't, dear.
Oh, oh, no, of course not. No.
There's always a possibility of salvaging it.
How?
Well, if they're years together, I have a quality that's too precious to lose.
Oh, Gloria, that's gibberish.
Well, it makes pretty good sense to me, Jenny.
Come in.
I'm leaving now, Mrs. Wiggins.
Oh, Rosa, come in. I want to talk to you.
Run along, Rosa. Have a good time.
About the refrigerator,
ma'am. I think I can help you with your problem.
Oh, it's nothing I can fix, Miss Moore.
I'm glad to see you're so optimistic.
I'll just take a monkey wrench to it.
Isn't that a little drastic?
It might be better to get a new one. The old one's pretty well wore out.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am.
But remember, Rosa, you only have one chance at happiness.
Yes, but you ought to hear the noise it makes. Oh, sometimes I wonder if I wasn't happier when the Iceman came every day.
What an odd woman.
Yes.
Maybe the poor man's right. Well, I've got to run along myself.
Hey, how about having dinner with Jenny and myself tonight?
Oh, thanks. I'd love to. Bye-bye, Kitty.
Goodbye, Gloria, and thanks for the advice. For Rose, I mean.
Huh?
Dale, I'm glad you decided not to go to the office.
I'll show her. Not an engineer for nothing. I'll fix this refrigerator. Jenny.
I know, dear, I know. We need a new refrigerator.
Yeah.
Well, here, move over. I want to help.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You don't have to do that.
No, but I want to. Oh!
What's wrong?
Oh, my back. It slipped out of place again.
Oh, here. Oh.
Oh.
Now, come here. Turn around.
Yeah.
Easy. I'll get all set.
Yeah.
You all right?
Mm.
Relax now.
Mm. Oh.
How's that?
Better. Oh, darling. Darling, hold me close.
Sure.
Bill, I don't know what I'd do without you.
No, neither do I.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad you came to your senses.
What do you mean, dear?
Well, that little spat we had this morning.
Oh.
You know, I'd feel like a cad leaving you alone.
Oh?
Yeah, women haven't the ability to cope with the world. It's obvious.
Oh. I don't think it's that obvious.
Well, of course it is. A man in his 30s has his whole life ahead of him.
Yes?
But with a woman in her 30s, it's different.
Dale!
Yeah?
Do you realize what you're saying?
Well, yeah, sure I do. I'm just being honest.
But...
Now, how many men want a woman over 30 when they can get a young girl?
Well, I know one who would.
Huh? Who?
Huh? Who? Gil Cummins,
hey,
that's who.
Married women don't talk like that.
Well, that's right, they don't. I'll just see what I can do about this little situation
hey,
right
this
now.
This is a fine time to make a phone call.
I can't think of a better time.
Now, wait a minute, Jenny. What do you think?
Hello, Addison?
Have you gone crazy?
Addison, this is Jenny. Jenny Williams. Dale and I want to see you this afternoon. No, no, not for cocktails. We want a divorce. You're our friend as well as our lawyer. But we've come to your house on business, so please, let's keep it impersonal.
What a divorce. Now, look, you two, how short can your memories be? Dale, have you forgotten the time Jenny was in the hospital and you walked the corridor for hours on end?
No, no, of course not. You don't forget things like that.
And Jenny, you haven't forgotten the time you begged me to come to the airfield with you?
But...
Dale was testing an experimental plane. You told me you couldn't go on living if anything happened to him. Have you forgotten that, Jenny?
Hey, Jenny, I never knew you were there that day.
Addison, you promised me that you'd never tell him.
Well, let's forget this talk about divorce until you're perfectly sure in your own minds. Perfectly sure.
Well, I...
Take her home, Dale. Straighten things out.
Jenny, what do you say?
Well, all right. All right, Dale, I'll try.
Well, that's more like it. Now, you kids run along home and patch this thing up.
Yes, all right.
Now, as you open the door, don't stumble over my wife. Mabel's probably listening at the keyhole.
Jenny, darling.
Hello, Mabel.
And Dale, I didn't know you were here.
Liar. Now, say hello and run along.
Well, not until I feel Jenny for 5 little minutes. I simply must talk to her.
Oh, please, Mabel, not now.
Oh, but darling, this is simply can't wait. This is important. My business, darling, but I do want to be helpful. Now, you get a good property settlement from Dale.
But I don't want anything. I'm not even sure I want a divorce.
Oh, of course you want a divorce. Suppose you lose your job. Suppose Dale goes ahead and marries Gloria. She'll have everything she wants.
Well, what's Gloria got to do with it?
You didn't know.
Didn't know what?
Well, but that, I thought that was the reason for the divorce.
Oh.
Naturally, I didn't dream. Oh, my dear, I'd be the last person on earth to tell you that...
What is it, Mabel?
Well, it's just that you've been blind. Blind.
What have I been blind about?
Well, while you were in Paris,
yes?
Your husband and Gloria dined out every night in an obscure restaurant.
So what of it? They had dinner together.
But, my dear, they skulked. They giggled. Sheila Jameson told me that one night she saw them over there.
But, Jenny, will you listen to me, please? Gloria and I just had dinner together.
I'm not concerned with dinner. It's what happened after dinner that bothers me.
Well, you were in Paris and I was lonely.
Well, not for long you were.
Well, I just wanted somebody to talk to.
Dale Williams, I know your little talks. I married you after one of them.
That'll teach me to keep my big mouth shut.
And if you think I'm going to dinner with you and that woman, well, you have another thought coming.
Well, then stay home for all I care.
Oh, no, I'm not going to stay home. I'm going to the Macombo.
Oh, wait.
Gil, come in. Jenny, it's me, Gil.
Beat it. What do you want?
One side, chubby. I've got a date with your wife.
She isn't here.
Well, I'll wait. What are you doing here?
This happens to be my home.
Well, according to what Jenny told me over the phone a couple of hours ago, you'll be vacating soon. So, I'll just make myself comfortable. Now, where's your bourbon?
Oh, it's right over there in the... Oh, that does it. That does it.
Oh, say, Dale, where's Jenny? I haven't seen her in years.
Gil, is that you?
Oh, hello,
yes.
Gloria.
Hurry, darling.
This
We've
is
got
Dale.
Years of catching up.
Remember that date for tonight?
Well,
how would you like the more combo?
Your dream.
Oh,
no, no. Jenny won't be with us.
And Dale?
Just a minute, Gloria. What is it?
If you hear somebody trying to get in before 2 o'clock...
Yeah?
Shoot him. It won't be me.
Come on, Gil, let's dance.
No, I'd rather sit here and look at you.
Oh.
If I say you're more beautiful than ever, you'll think I'm lying. And if I say you're not, I will be.
Oh, don't stop it, Gil. I love it. I love every word of it.
I've been saving a lot of words for you, Jenny. I've been traveling the world over.
Oh, what for?
Collecting bird eggs.
Bird's eggs?
Well, sure, you'll love it. Oh, I'm an expert, but we'll talk about that some other time. Right now, I want to talk about you and me.
Well, maybe we'd better talk about bird's eggs.
Now, look, heartbreak gal, you are going to marry me.
Oh, Gil, I don't know if I ever want to marry anybody again.
I've had a long wait, Jenny. Well, what's the matter, Jenny?
Look, who's sitting down over there? Dale and Gloria. You know, Gil, something tells me your waiting days are over.
Dale, did you know they'd be here?
In a word...
What word?
Yes.
After everything you told me and you still can't bear to have Jenny out of your sight.
Well, I was just kind of curious, that's all.
Well, you can be curious without me. Good night.
Oh, no, please, Gloria. Look, we won't stay. I'm very sorry. It was just an impulse.
I don't know why I put up with you.
Because we're pals.
I got news for you, kid. I won't be a pal to any man.
Well, you can be more than a pal to me, Gloria. I mean that.
Well, let's get busy and see if we can make a deal.
Uh-oh. Good Lord, they're coming over here.
Enter one ex-friend.
Oh, now, Gloria, please, don't make a scene.
I won't unless she starts it.
Gloria!
Jenny, darling!
Oh, your hat is positively stunning. My old one, isn't it?
I should have returned it, dear.
Oh.
It just matches your gown.
Does Dale bring you here often, Gloria?
No, he usually hides me away in a little saloon near the Bowery.
Oh, the Bowery. Oh, well, isn't that so nice to feel at home in one's surroundings? Don't be embarrassed, darling.
I'm not really.
Huh?
I know you're just unhappy over losing Dale.
Shall we put up the cutlery?
Good evening, Dale.
Good evening.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Gil. What have you been doing?
Enjoying it. Now, let's cut out this double talk and get down to cases. You see, Jenny and I are going to get hitched as soon as she unloads you, Dale. That is your name, isn't it?
Yes, Goop.
Gil, there's no reason to tell him now.
Why not?
Because in your own simple language, my simple friend, I also have an announcement to make. As soon as I unhitch Jenny, Gloria and I are getting married.
Would somebody buy me a good stiff drink?
No, better than that. Let's have a party.
Fine, let's go up to my hotel. I have a chair, some gin, and a bathtub.
No, thanks. I never drink gin out of bathtubs.
My place is worse.
Oh, no furniture?
No bathtub.
Hey, wait a minute. We got a home, haven't we, Jenny?
Yes.
And besides, Gil might like to see the rest of the place.
I don't like this room any better than the others.
Well, you don't?
No.
Then we'll change them all, dear.
I think I like this love seat, though.
Oh.
We'll keep it.
You stay away from that love seat. Gloria and I are going to build a room around that.
Come here, darling.
Huh?
Oh, this is the way it will always be.
Oh.
Sitting here in front of the fireplace, Jenny.
Wait a minute.
My arms around you.
You?
Like this. And as you gaze up into my eyes,
yes.
I'll kiss you. Like this?
Hey, don't hold it like that.
You keep out of this.
Yes, what are you getting so excited about?
Well, he's trying to kiss my wife.
Trying nothing, he's doing it. And it's about time I did the same to you.
Wait a minute.
Now what's wrong?
That's no way for him to kiss my wife.
Why are you so worried?
He'll throw her sacroiliac out of joint.
The only trouble with you is too much Jenny.
What do you mean?
If you can worry about her sacroiliac while I'm kissing you, it's time for little Gloria to bow out.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Gloria, wait a minute. Don't go.
Lover's quarrel?
No. Just a change in plans, that's all.
Oh, well, in case you're interested, I haven't changed mine.
For your information, I am not interested.
Oh, I see.
Furthermore, I am going to bed.
Oh, not in this house,
in
or not?
In this house. In the study.
Oh.
Good night.
Well.
Jenny, darling.
Yes, Gil?
Before we go ahead with plans for our future,
yes,
there's something that you ought to know.
Go on, Gil.
Well, once when I was collecting bird eggs,
yes,
it was in Sheboygan, I was walking down the street, and I met a certain little...
Jenny!
Yes?
Where are my pajamas?
In the kitchen. Pardon me, Gil, while I get...
Oh, great little housekeeper, Jenny. Keeps my pajamas in the oven.
That is a snide remark.
So I'm snide. Why don't you go home?
Why don't you get someone to bounce me?
I wouldn't need any help.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Here, catch.
Thank you. Good night.
I don't see how you put up with him for 5 years.
Now, what were you saying, Gil, when he so rudely interrupted you?
Oh, yes. Once when I was collecting bird eggs, it was in Sheboygan.
Yes.
I was walking down the street, and I met a certain little...
Hey, Jenny.
Now what?
Where are my vitamin
pills? In the medicine chest, where they've always been.
They are not, and I'm not going to bed without them.
Oh, excuse me, Gil. I'll get them.
No, let him get them.
Well, look, just because we're getting a divorce is no reason why you should die at Berry Berry.
Oh, vitamin pills. Ha!
Well, it's just a hobby.
Well, after you take your vitamins, I'll take you on for a few rounds of polite boxing.
You know, that'll be a pleasure I've long looked forward to.
Here, catch.
Thank you, Jenny.
You're welcome, Dale.
Don't forget to wear your stocking cap.
Good night.
I'm awfully sorry, Gil. Now, what were you saying?
Oh, it was just this. You see, once when I was collecting bird eggs...
It was in Sheboygan. Yeah.
I was walking down the street when I met a certain little... Oh, good Lord, what is that?
Dale, what are you doing?
Fixing the refrigerator.
Well, do you have to do it right now?
I certainly do.
Oh.
Darling, this time I'm going to skip the preliminaries and take you in my arms.
Oh, Gil.
Just a moment, old man, just a moment. If you're going to kiss my wife, the least you can do is let me show you how to protect a sacroiliac.
Nobody asked you.
One side, chubby.
Now, see here.
Now, just watch closely.
Yes?
You put one arm around her like this.
Yes?
Let go of me, dear, will you?
And the other arm around her like this.
Oh.
Gil, I don't like the look in his eye.
And then you pull her towards you like this.
Oh, darling,
what is...
Oh, my back! He's wrenched my back!
Well, good night, everybody.
Now,
don't worry. All you need is a rub down. I used to have a horse, had the same trouble.
Oh, terrible.
Now, just brace yourself. Now, here we go.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Gil, you've made it worse.
Oh. Well, I'll try it again.
Oh, no.
Shall I call a doctor?
No, you better call Dale.
Oh, that pain in the neck.
What about the pain in my back? Dale?
No.
Please?
No.
Please, Dale?
Well, I can't work with that goop leering over my shoulder.
Perhaps you'd better go, Gil.
Well, I can't leave him alone with my fiancée.
Who happens to be my wife?
Oh, don't argue, Gil. Just do as he says, please.
Well, I'll be right outside the door in case he lays a hand on you.
Yes.
Now, lie down on your stomach.
Yes.
That's it. And stop squirming. Okay, now, take it easy and just relax.
I will.
Are you all set?
But my back hurts.
Are you sure you're ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh!
That help?
Yeah.
Feel better?
Yes. Yes, darling.
Yes, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
Oh, Jenny, darling.
What did you say?
Darling. And I meant to say it.
Oh, Dale. Dale, why didn't you tell me about Gloria?
Well, there was nothing to tell, darling. You see, but...
Oh.
Hey, wait a minute. What about Gil?
Oh, him.
What are you doing?
I'm locking the door.
Hey. Who locked that door?
I did.
Good night.
Oh.
Good night, Gil.
Gil, my husband said good night.
Well, before I go, there's a question I want to ask you, Williams.
What do you want, Gil?
Gloria's phone number. Hey, answer me!
He can't. He's busy. See him in the morning.
Happy anniversary, darling.
Happy anniversary, darling.
In just a moment, our stars will return. Next week, to suit your spring entertainment tastes, the NBC Theater presents another recipe for laughter, the lilting comedy, Suddenly It's Spring, starring Fred McMurray. And now, here is tonight's star, Loretta Young, and screen director, Lewis Allen.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, let me warn you, don't be taken in by Lewis Allen's soft, quiet words. He's actually a tyrant.
Me a tyrant? Yes. Why, Loretta, when we made the picture, I didn't strike you once.
Well, now, that's the trouble. You see, you're insidious. You did something worse.
What's that?
You cut my lines.
Tell you what I'll do.
Hmm?
You take those line cuts and speak them right now.
Oh, really, Lou, on the level?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Let me see now. Pass the butter. Ooh, my arm itches. Behind the door? Huh? I don't like your attitude. How do you do? But not tonight.
Magnificent. Sheer poetry.
Well, seriously, Lou, before we say goodnight, I'd like to say thanks to you and to the rest of the men behind the camera. We actors portray our parts, but it's you screen directors who make the picture.
It's awfully nice of you, Loretta.
Thank you, Lou. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
And good night to you, Loretta Young, Robert Bailey, and Lewis Allen.
The Screen Director's Playhouse, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 20th of March, 1949, on NBC. First a motion picture in 1947, Loretta Young was the only cast member from the film to reprise her role on radio. This is an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now one of the, if not the, earliest broadcast of Fred Allen on radio that has survived from radio's past, it's an episode of the Leonard Bath Club Review from January 22nd, 1933. A CBS episode.
The makers of Linnet, the best way to a soft, smooth skin, present for your entertainment Fred Allen and his associate members of the Linnet Bath Club Review. An announcement of unusual importance to every woman in the radio audience will be made later in this program. Be sure to listen for it. And now, on with the show.
Rise and shine, stand up and take it. Rise and shine, that's what you make it. If Bloom's heart calls, you get you as he soon does. Shall find you on your own and do just as the moon does. Rise and shine, don't be a mourner. Things are fine around the corner.
Fred Allen.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the Linnet Bath Club Review starts a new series of radio presentations. We have had so many requests to repeat some of our earlier program backgrounds that in the future broadcasts, we are going to remain in each business for 2 or 3 weeks. We hope that you will have as much fun listening in as we have in preparing and presenting these little reviews. Tonight, we take you to the court of Judge Allen. The court hasn't opened yet, and while the judge is busy in his chamber, Lou Katzman is using the courtroom to render a musical verdict.
Hello? Hello? Judge Allen, just a minute.
Hello? No, court isn't open yet. I'm in my chamber. Yes, I try cases over the phone, Mrs. Lummox. You want a divorce? First you caught your husband kissing the woman upstairs. Then you caught him kissing the woman downstairs. Then he kissed the cook, huh? No, don't divorce him yet. It may be your turn next.
The reporters are here, Your Honor.
Send them in.
Good morning, morning Judge.
Hello, Joe. Hello, May. What's on your mind?
Oh, the editor wants to know something about your new court.
Yeah, what's the big idea opening your own court?
Well, I'll tell you. The city police courts are old-fashioned. For years, they've had everything their own way. There's been no competition.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, they don't cater to the customer. Every time you get arrested, they drag you down to court, whether it's convenient or not. They've been using the same old sentences for years, and they're still giving people pre-war fines. It's outrageous.
Well, what's your court doing?
In the first place, I'm open day and night.
Well, what about fines?
They've got to come down. In my court, you can pay your fine on the installment plan. If I fine you $10 and you haven't got it, you can make me an offer and I'll bet you won't get away.
Say, that's great.
Oh, this'll look good in the papers.
Everything else is cut rate, and I'm running a cut rate court. No case too small for me to handle. I want to put crime within the reach of every man. And you'll get justice here just as cheap as you'll get at any place.
Okay, Your Honor.
Well, so long.
Make it strong in the papers, folks. If I put this over, I'll start a chain of cut-rate courts around the country. It'll put the police out of business.
Court is ready to open, Your Honor.
Say, how does my new robe look?
Well.
Okay, I'll go right in.
Oh, yes, all persons having business for the cut-rate court, give it a dinner.
Order in the court, please. Order in the court.
Sit down, everybody.
First case?
John Flood versus Caesar Bemis. Assault and battery.
What happened, John?
Well, I was working at my filling station on the night of the 7th, Your Honor, when this man here...
Mr. Bemis?
Yes, he drove up in a roller skate.
A roller skate? Hey, I'll brain him.
Now, wait a minute. Wait. Order in the court, please.
If he makes fun of my car again, I'll...
Sit down, Bemis.
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, Mr. Flood, continue.
Well, as I was saying, he drove up the filling station, and I waited on him, and he slugged me.
That's all, Flood. He hit you for nothing?
Yes, Your Honor. He didn't charge me a cent.
Now, Bemis, take the stand and tell us your version.
Yes, Your Honor. 6 months ago, I bought a small car.
A baby Boston?
Yes, Your Honor. And my life's been miserable ever since.
People laugh at you when you're in it.
Yes, Your Honor.
And dogs bark in through the windshield?
Yes, I couldn't stand it any longer.
But why did you assault Mr. Flood?
I drove up to his filling station and said, give me some gas and oil.
Yes?
He said a teaspoonful of gas and 4 drops of oil ought to fix you up.
Gosh, that's a pretty old joke.
Yeah, I heard it a million times since I bought the car. But I didn't say anything. When I paid him, he said that it'll be 45 cents for weaning your scooter.
And then you struck him.
No. No, he looked at the car and said, if you want me to sneeze in the tires, it'll be 15 cents extra.
And then you punched him.
No, I threw the car at him.
Flood, you're fined $2.32 for assault. Bemis, for throwing the car, I'll fine you $3 for the battery. Next case.
Your Honor, Officer Moyfe, he arrested these two midgets.
Charges, officer.
Creating a disturbance in the day nursery.
I don't try midgets in here. You know that. Take them to a lower court.
This is the lowest court I know.
That's belittling, Murphy. $10 fine.
All right. I got it right here in my pocket.
And 30 days. See if you've got that in your pocket, too. Next.
There's a little Goya, Your Honor.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Portland.
Are you surprised to see me here?
Yes. What were you arrested for?
Oh, I'm not arrested. Papa didn't come home tonight.
No?
Not yet. Mama heard the patrol go by the house, so she asked me to stop in and see if it was Papa.
He hasn't come in yet.
Well, it's early. I'll just wait till he gets here.
How do you know he's coming here?
Well, Mama gave him a $10 bill to get changed this noontime, and he wasn't home at 6 o'clock. Every time he has money, he does the same thing.
Does what?
Well, first he takes out enough to pay his fine. Then he goes to a speakeasy and lets nature take its course.
If your mother knew he wouldn't come home, why did she give him the $10?
It's funny. She thought she was giving it to a stranger.
Oh, didn't she know your father?
No. He hadn't been home for so long. She didn't remember his face.
Was he away?
No, he's been working day and night.
Those are long hours.
Yes, he was working for an interior decorator.
And the shop was open day and night?
Yes, they're not real interior decorators. But if you want something to drink in the middle of the night, you just call up.
What did they sell to decorate your interior?
Detrimental wine, mostly.
Detrimental wine. It's sort of a cordial shop.
Yes, they're very polite in there.
Did your father lose his job?
Yes, he brought some of the wine home, and Mama thought it was furniture polish.
What happened?
My cousin didn't know what it was, and he shined his shoes with it.
What happened to him?
When he finished, he was in a stocking seat.
That wine is detrimental, all right.
That's what Mama said.
Mama said what?
She said if you christened a boat with it, the boat would have an extra porthole.
Say, your father must be unlucky.
Yes, he had bad luck in his building and loan, too.
Really?
He went down there to draw out his money, and he stood in line all afternoon.
I could never understand why they called it the building and loan.
Well, when Papa finally got in the building, he was alone.
That's too bad. Did he get his money?
Yes. He started a rumor that the company was solvent.
And all the people put their money back in again.
Yes.
Your father certainly was clever to start a rumor like that.
He wasn't so clever. He saw the people rushing back to invest.
So what?
Well, Papa said there might be something in the rumor after all. So he put his money back in, too.
That finishes me. You can sit down here. When you hear the musical gong, it'll probably be your father.
I hope so.
Next case.
Filbert Lavender.
Yes, Your Honor.
You're charged with picking things up in department stores and forgetting to pay for them.
Oh, I'm so absent-minded, Judge. I pick up the strangest thing. My best friend was a blacksmith, but now he hates me.
Why?
Well, you see, in a moment of weakness, I stole his anvil.
A kleptomaniac, eh? Now, your charge was stealing 6 bottles of perfume. Guilty or not guilty?
Oh, anything that will please you, judges.
30 days will make me very happy.
Oh, thank you. That tickles me pink.
Next.
Lillian Lowhill. Lillian Lowhill.
Take it easy, copper. I hear you.
Yours is a very strange case, Miss Lowhill. I'd advise you to get a lawyer.
Listen, I got in here without a lawyer, and I'll get out the same way.
You're charged with leaving things in stores and public places. Now, on January 4th, you left a pound of cheese in a flower shop. On the 20th...
I know. I left 4 herrings in a jewelry store.
Yesterday, you were caught leaving cream ale in the public library. Now, what's the idea?
Well, it's this way, Your Honor. I used to steal things every place I went. I couldn't help it. It was like a disease.
You mean you were a shoplifter?
Yeah. Some big doctor said he'd cure me if I'd take 10 treatments.
What happened?
Well, I took 20 treatments to make sure. I overdid it.
Didn't you stop shoplifting?
Yeah, but now I go around leaving things in places. It's like another disease.
I'll fix you up. Officer?
Yes, Your Honor.
Bring that kleptomaniac in here.
Yes, Your Honor.
Say, don't put me in a cell with that guy.
I'm not putting you in a cell.
Yes, Your Honor.
Here I am, Judgy. You great big legal beauty, you.
Meet Miss Lowhey.
Oh, charmed, Jimmy.
Take it easy, Maisie.
Now I'll release you two on one condition. Filbert, you follow Miss Lowhey wherever she goes. I order you to pick up the things she leaves around. That'll keep you both out of trouble.
Thanks, Your Honor.
Wait a minute. Lock the doors. My watch is gone.
Oh, judges.
Here it is, Judge. I've seen him take it.
Fine. You two are working together already. Next.
Randolph, you saggy bottom.
Yes, Your Honor.
You're charged with parking your car overtime.
Your Honor, I didn't.
Order, please. Will you plead guilty? The fine is $8.15 for one offense, or 2 parkings for $15.
I'm not guilty.
All right, take the stand. You find out whether you're guilty or not. Now, it says here you not only parked overtime, but your car was next to a fire hydrant.
Your Honor, I...
Order, please. While the car was parked, a fire broke out, and the fireman couldn't connect the hose. Fireman Spark?
Yes, Your Honor.
What happened?
We drove up with the engine, and the car was in the way. We seen we couldn't do nothing, so we went to another fire.
And the house burned down.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'm not guilty.
Oh, you're not. Did you know that the heat from the burning building blistered the back of Miller's Market? Mrs. Miller?
Yes, Your Honor.
Take the stand. Did you see the defendant's car parked near the fire hydrant?
Yes, Your Honor.
Tell us what you know about the case.
Well, my husband owns a butcher shop. And when the building next door burned down, it melted the ice in the icebox and soiled all the meat.
How do you know it spoiled the meat?
Because my husband's sick from eating it.
Are you sure he was ptomaine from this particular meat?
Yes. Mrs. Clancy bought some of it, and her husband nearly died.
That's all. Mr. Clancy.
I'm not guilty, Your Honor.
Keep quiet, Saggy Bottom. Now, Clancy, what is your occupation?
I'm a letter carrier.
And you were poisoned by this meat?
I nearly died, Your Honor. I lost my job on account of it. I took sick and couldn't deliver the mail until 2 days later.
And when you couldn't deliver the mail, Miss Baxter was dispossessed. Miss Baxter?
Righto, Your Honor.
Tell us your story.
Well, me rent was overdue, and I sent a check the very day that Mr. Clancy was stricken.
And your check, naturally, wasn't delivered in the mail.
No, Your Honor. My letter stayed in Clancy's bag, and I was dispossessed that night, Your Honor.
I'm not guilty.
I'm not through, Mr. Saggy Bottom. This is a court of justice. Now, when Miss Baxter's check failed to arrive, the landlord, Mr. Finebum, found himself in financial difficulty. Mrs. Finebum?
Yes, George.
Tell us about your husband's dilemma.
Well, I'll tell you. Mr. Finebaum owed the bank on his mortgage, you see. He was going to use Miss Baxter's check to settle the amount.
But he didn't receive the check, so he couldn't pay the bank.
No, the bank took the building away from my husband. Oh, and Mr. Finebaum went crazy. He jumped out of a window. Now I'm a widow.
I'm not guilty, Your Honor!
No, Randolph, you saggy bottom. You're not guilty on the charge of parking overtime. But if your car hadn't been parked in front of the fire hydrant, Humbert Finebaum would be alive today. I hereby sentence you, charge you with the murder of Humbert Finebaum, and sentence you to 40 years. What was that shot?
Your Honor, Saggy Bottom's killed himself.
Killed himself? That'll be 10 years more for contempt of court. Next case.
Ronald C. Blotto.
Mr. Blotto, you're charged with intoxication, refusing to pay your check at a speakeasy, resisting an officer, and inciting a riot. Guilty or not guilty?
See my lawyer.
Is your attorney here in court?
Right there, Your Honor, on the job.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm Roy Retwell, counselor at law. Notary Niblick, public.
Roy Atwell?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is the defendant guilty?
Guilty? Yes. No. 1,000 islands, no. I demand a habeas corpus, a corpus. My client is as innocent as a newborn babe. This place is as clear as a crystal.
Atta boy, I'll tell you, Webster.
Order in the court, please.
Oh, no harm done, Your Honor. My client is feeling his boat, his oats. Mr. Blotto's a prince, a hail fellow and well wet. Met.
No, never mind that. Put him on the stand.
No sooner shed than done. I'll have him acquitted in 2 milkshakes of a clam's pail, tail. Mr. Motto, Blotter, will you take the strand? Your Allen, he's a slobber, a sober as a fudge. Yes.
Proceed with the case, if you will.
Exactly. Now, sister, Mr. Blotto, we want the truth and butter, not the sleuth. Mr. Truth, we want the sleuth and nothing but... I object.
Wait a minute. What are you objecting for?
Well, I thought I'd take the words out of your mouth. Every time I try a case, somebody objects.
Attaboy, Darrell. Attaboy, old Clarence.
Order, please. Now, was your client in the speakeasy on the night in question?
Of course he was in the speakeasy. Every man has his place, and my client's place was in the Pig and Bristle, the whistle.
What's that?
Well, the Pig and Thistle, the Pig and Pickle, the whistle, that's the sneaky,
Please. Had the defendant been drinking?
Mrs. Blotto, have you been drinking?
I was polluted. Here's the bill. Boy, was I drink. Yes. Look at
this. It's a list of drinks. Two brandy bloats, brandy goats, both, and Tom and Beery, Jerry.
When did the trouble start?
The trouble start? There was no bubble startle. Someone put a mum's extra fly bottle in my client's hand, and he tossed it out of a waiter.
Why, old technocrat, and I'll boy.
Quiet, please. Now he tossed the bottle.
He bossed the throttle, yes. The bum's extra dry dottle. And the waiter ducked. And the bottle went through the window.
Then the police came in.
Yes, the cops broke down the doors, but the waddle was empty, and the cops wanted to know why.
Order,
please. Now continue, Mr. Atwell.
But my client was as cute as a cucumber. He threw a window.
Same window?
Yes, he saw a hole in the window, and he didn't want to see it go to waste.
Sure, I'm next. Have a little drink.
Here, Blotto. Put that flask away.
I object. Pass it around.
Give me the flask, officer.
Yes, Your Honor. It's nothing, Your Allen. It's ginger ale or root rear. A beer, I'll bet.
If this is intoxicating liquor, Blotto will get life.
Intoxicating taste it, Your Honor. Why, it's probably nothing but some mouth sauce or a gargle that he's been taking for a sore goat. I mean, a sore throat.
It smells like liquor.
Hey, that's a lie.
Taste it, Your Honor. Taste it.
Tastes like liquor, too. You try it, Atwell.
Yes. Ah, that's not jicker. A litter. It's a liquor. It's, I'll say it's lemon lospate.
Here, let me taste it again. No. It's scotch.
No, give me another paste. A taste. No, that's not splotch. It's orange squash.
Well, I'll try once more. No, it's scotch.
Wait, that's a lie.
Yes, something I've seen, you. Yeah, I could sing better than myself.
Don't deny, Nudge. I mean, Sudge.
Hey, well, now, let's make it a trio.
All right.
All right, boys, let's go. My heart. Next case.
The Sisters of the Blue Nose versus Floppo Stock Company.
State your case, Miss Snoop.
Well, I am president of the Sisters of the Blue Nose. The Floppo Stock Company put on an indecent show, and we raided the theater.
Mr. Ham, are you the producer of these shows?
I'm not only the producer, but the guiding star, the leading light.
We're going to put your light out. The actors are a public menace. Show them no mercy, Judge.
The quality of mercy is not strained.
This is no time for poetry, Ham. What show are you presenting?
That famous melodrama, And the Smell of the Yukon.
Oh, yes. That's the play about the Alaskan gold rush.
It's indecent, Judge. It's all about gold diggers.
All is not gold that's in bridge work, madam.
No proverbs, Ham. Are you guilty or not guilty?
You're the judge.
That's right. I forgot. Is your company here?
Yes, Your Honor.
They're terrible, too.
We'll soon find out. Now, let me see the questionable part of this play.
Yes, gladly. You'll see the play is as clean as the driven snow.
Yes, snow that's been driven through Pittsburgh.
Quiet, quiet. On with the show.
I say, Big Chief Running Pants, are you sure you know the way?
Huh? He know every foot in Alaska.
Oh, Your Honor, that's a suggestive remark.
He knows every foot. He's an Indian corroborative. That's not vulgar. Go on, Ham.
The place is full of wolves. Look at those tracks.
Huh? Wolves no have tracks. Thick or have tracks.
Look, Chief, in the mountains. Those figures are moving.
Mountain goats.
You mean it's a haunted mountain?
Good haunting ground. Much goat.
Goats? I thought you said ghosts. It's a beautiful sight. Thousands of goats. It's the smell of the Yukon.
Much beautiful. Fui.
Speaking of goats, reminds me of Frisco Kate. She's up here somewhere, Chief Runnin' Pants, and I'll find her if it takes all night.
Oh, Your Honor, Frisco Kate is...
Quiet, quiet.
Look, he big dance hall, much good fire water, free wall.
We'll go in. They may know Frisco Kate.
Hello there, strangers. Come on in and get warm.
Thank you, gal.
Well, bar.
In the back room, straight ahead.
What do you have, Sergeant?
Two Tom and Jerry's.
I'll give you Tom, but I'm all out of Jerry's.
Two Toms, then.
You prospecting for gold?
No, partner. I'm a seeking Frisco Kate. She's worth her weight in gold to any man.
She ain't been here, Sergeant.
I wonder if any of the boys have met up with her.
Wait a minute. I'll call the joints. Quiet, everybody. Give me your attention.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Ham. This show is putrid, but it's not vulgar.
It's obscene.
Miss Snoop, you're wasting the court's time. This acting isn't suggestive.
No, but the dancing is.
What dancing?
Well, when I saw the show, a girl named La Belle Fatima did a dance called The Dying Duck.
The Dying Duck?
Yes. And from the looks of her costume, the duck died of exposure.
Mr. Ham?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is La Belle Fatima here?
Yes, but she can't dance, Your Honor. Her costume is missing.
A little thing like that shouldn't stop her.
Quiet. Miss Snoop, not knowing the nature of the dance, I can't act.
Nature of the dance is right. It was all nature.
Well, since I can't see the dying duck, I'll have to dismiss the case.
No, Your Honor. Before I'll see these criminals freed, I'll do the dance for you myself.
You will? How did it start?
Well, she came out wiggling, like this.
I see. And then what happened?
Well, her feet stood still and her body acted like $2 worth of jelly, looking for a place to gel, like this.
I'm getting a good idea of it now.
Oh,
You're under arrest.
Just a minute, officer. Watch this.
It's a raid, Your Honor. We've had complaint about your court. We'll have to pinch this dame who's doing the dance.
Oh, there's some mistake. Oh, save me, Judge.
You'll get 20 years for this, Miss Snoop.
Oh, I'll never live to do it.
Do as much of it as you can.
Come on, lady, come on.
I can see it in your eyes. I can hear it in your sighs. Feel your touch and realize the thrill. Nights are cold, for love is old. Love was grand when love was new. Birds were singing, skies were blue. Now it don't appeal to you. A thrill is gone. This is the end. So why pretend?
Tonight, why not endure the soothing luxury of a linnet bath? Notice what complete relaxation it affords your entire body. And here is Fred Allen.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. We'll all be looking for you next Sunday. So long.
Emma Roberts saying good night for all. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Linnet Bath Club Review on Tuned to Yesterday with comedian Fred Allen. His earliest radio show, that CBS episode from January 22nd, 1933. His radio career would wrap up with episodes of NBC's variety program The Big Show in 1951. And so ends this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.